Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 34. And if you want to follow along in a Bible underneath the pew, it can be located on page 955. Again, that's John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
I noticed that some of you did the zombie walk in the services this morning. A limp, a gimp, and a stiff leg. I got to thinking to myself, what's going on? And then it dawned on me, yesterday was the U.S. Air Force Marathon. I got that t-shirt, and I don't want it again. Some say that it hurts to move. When you run that full marathon, it hurts to even think about moving. Raymond asked me, did you run yesterday? I said, I sure did. I ran from the couch to the fridge all day long, back and forth. I commend you on participating in that. That is quite an achievement. Quite an achievement. A miracle. You are quite familiar with that word. You hear it often. Child is born with a grave illness, and the odds of that child of surviving are minimal. The child not only survives, he or her, they thrive. And later, as this child is progressing, mom and dad look at this little bundle of joy, and they conclude, this is our little miracle. Just last week, I happened to see footage on television of a motorcyclist that was hit not by one vehicle, not by two vehicles, but simultaneously by three vehicles, same time. And he walked away from the accident without a scratch on his body. The reporter concluded, it was a miracle. We use that word a lot. My friends, I would dare to say that we use the word miracle in our vocabulary in a way that is different than it is depicted in the Bible. It is entirely different. You see, the way we use the word, it is meant to depict or to describe an event where we beat the odds. The child who survived that illness, that disease, that problem. The doctor gives the prognosis and he tells the parents that less than 20% of infants survive this. We beat the odds. In the Bible, a miracle was something that occurred that was unnatural. It opposed the course of nature's natural course. An example there in Exodus in chapter 14 and verse 16, when Moses raises the staff and with a swipe of the hand, the sea splits. Now that's a miracle. Or there in Daniel in chapter 3, when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they're thrown into that fiery furnace. And when they return from it, they're not molested, harmed, or hurt in any way, shape, form, or fashion by the fire, but they don't even smell like smoke. That's a miracle. Or when you think you can outrun God, but you can't really, or God doesn't see you, but He really does, and you are swallowed by a huge fish, sea creature, and you have time in the belly of this sea creature to repent of your sins and to worship God, that's a miracle. Those are miracles. Of course, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Jesus when we talk about miracles. He truly was a miracle worker. Our best count of recorded miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels was 37 miracles in all. Some may think, well, that number's kind of low, isn't it? Just 37 miracles? But if Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years, that's a miracle a month. Not bad. But you know what? I have a feeling he did more miracles than that. That's just all we know. You see, when you go to John chapter 21 and verse 25, John tells us that there were other things that Jesus did, and perhaps even some of those things were even miracles. You see, one might wonder, why isn't there more written? The answer is quite simple. Enough has been said. Enough has been written. Enough proof has been established for us to believe. And this leads us to perhaps a good question surrounding those miracles that Jesus performed on those who needed help and those who needed healing. When we consider the purpose of the miracles or the reason for the miracles, I'm going to give you three this morning. First, I would submit to you that it was for confirmation. That word confirm, it means to establish the truth or facts about something believed or suspected. In essence, you're proving it. That's what Jesus did with his miracles. That's what the apostles did with their miracles. You remember there in Mark in chapter 16. Jesus, after he has risen from the grave, he has spoken some final words to his beloved apostles. And you remember there in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, Mark records this for us. He says, "So then after our Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs," through the miracles. Jesus, indeed, was a miracle worker. He knew the miracles that he performed would indeed confirm the fact that he was the Son of God, just as the Scriptures say. You remember there in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus is in Jerusalem and he's in the temple and he's reading from Isaiah, actually chapter 61 in verses 11 through 12. And in that, he is depicting in Luke chapter 4 his ministry, why he's here, what he has come to do. You remember, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I'm here to preach, teach, heal, and help. That's why I'm here. Jesus revealed to them that his miracles matched what the Word said he would do. It was confirming. He was confirming the Word by way of his miracles. He was literally proving the validity of God's Word through those miracles. True compassion. Lest we reduce Jesus to this heartless robot who simply came here to carry out his Father's will. Oh, he's just doing it because he has to. Brethren, we kind of reduce and we strip Jesus of his heart. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus was not some godless Grinch. He had a heart. He was full of compassion. You remember there in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is eating and and dining with tax collectors and sinners. And boy, the Pharisees just got all upset about that. And they wanted to know, they asked his own disciples, why does your teacher, why does he eat and drink? Why does he keep company with sinners? Jesus responded. And he said, you know, is it not the sick who need a doctor? It's not the well who needs a doctor or a physician. It's the sick. And then he would go on and he would tell them that he desires mercy, not sacrifice. Compassion. You see, the reason you can't do what I'm doing is because you don't have a heart. You're not compassionate. They had fallen into this routine. As long as we worship God, as God has prescribed, we punched our ticket, we're good. There was no heart in religion. Tonight we're going to talk about that, by the way. Jesus' opposition. That's kind of a segue into that sermon tonight, Lord willing. His ministry was based upon compassion. There, when he had fed the multitudes in Mark chapter 6 and also in Mark chapter 8, the 5,000 and the 4,000, the Scriptures resonate his compassion. He was moved with compassion. It wasn't just the fact that they're hungry. I said that I was here to heal and to help others, so I better do that at this time. No, he was moved with compassion. They were scattered like a sheep without a shepherd, the Scriptures tell us. Or there in Luke in chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, as Jesus and his disciples are making their way through this little town called Nain. Their trip was interrupted with a funeral procession. And there was a grieving mother who had lost her only son. Heartbroken. Jesus stops the procession. And he raises the young man from the dead. Could you imagine such a thing? Flashing lights. Belton and Stroop makes their way through the city of Fairborn as they're headed out to the funeral. And someone with a robe, a toga, stands in the middle of the road and says, stop right there. And someone's raised from the grave. I mean, my goodness. That beats a bus driver getting shot in the chest with a Bible, kind of, sort of. Those headlines. Never mind. That's another story for another day. Amazing. Amazing that could happen. Jesus' lessons were filled with compassion. His lessons were filled with compassion. There in Luke in chapter 10 and also in Matthew in chapter 18, that prodigal son, as he returns home, the father was moved with mercy and compassion on his son. Or the unforgiving servant, when the disciples are squibbling and quabbling and disputing about forgiving and how much should I forgive, and Jesus shares a parable with them with regards to being in debt and granting forgiveness. But it comes from a forgiving heart first. You see, if you forgive just because you feel like you got to, there ain't going to be a whole lot of stick-to-itiveness to that. But if you forgive because you're filled with compassion and mercy, that means something. That's what that parable is about. Third, the purpose for his miracles, brethren, was because of credibility. Jesus gained credibility with the crowds because of his miracles. Another way of saying it is that the crowds cared about Jesus because Jesus cared about the crowds. Quite simply put. You see, because of his miracles, because of his compassion, because of his love towards mankind, people were willing to listen to what he had to say. They were tuned into him. They were willing to follow his commands, embrace his way of life. Why is that? because Jesus had established credibility in their eyes. He cares about us. Look what he has done for us. There in John chapter 9, the man that was born blind, his disciples want to make some theological case out of him. Who sinned, him or his parents? To make a long story short, you remember Jesus heals this man. His sight was restored, and the Pharisees come along, and they're all bent out of shape. Oh, they say that the miracle occurred on the Sabbath, and that's why they're mad. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus did other miracles that were not on the Sabbath, and they were still upset. That holds no water. And they get with him, and they're all upset. Tell us about this man. No one can do these signs unless God is with them. You're completely born in your sins. And the man responds, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. All I know is this, is I was blind and now I see. The man has credibility with me. He helped me. I needed help and he helped me. I needed a healing and he healed me. The same thing happened, you remember, in Mark chapter 5 and verses 28-34, with that woman who had the hemorrhaging going on for 12 years, the flow of blood. She had seen every doctor known to man, spent every penny that she had. She had heard that Jesus was coming her way. And by faith, she concluded, if I just touch him, I'll be made well. You see, not I might be made well, I will be made well. Jesus had credibility in her eyes. She knew he could heal her. He could help her. So this leads to modern day miracles. Modern day miracles. What does that mean? You see, we can't restore the sight to the blind. We can't cause the mute to speak and the lame to walk like Jesus did, his apostles did then. And believe me, if we could, I would be standing first in line, wanting a miracle like that. But friends, we can be involved in a modern day miracle. Now, what is a modern day miracle? You see, a modern day miracle is when we follow the same script that Jesus provided for us. For example, we too were moved with compassion. We have empathy for others. We can't heal them, but we can help them. Do you know of someone who needs help? Someone who needs you to listen to them, be with them. Someone who needs you to show them compassion. You see, this is what Jesus did. This is what I call, anyway, the modern day miracle. Who needs help? Who needs compassion? Some may walk away, well, they don't deserve it. None of us do. None of us do. Let's not base this upon what we deserve, because you don't want to go that way. It's really not going to end well. Two, and I've kind of rearranged the order here, but when we help those who need help, do you know what we gain in their eyes? We gain credibility. Just like the blind man there in John chapter 9. He helped me. That's all I know. And I'm walking away with an understanding. I was blind. I couldn't see. This guy helped me. I don't care. To me, he's my hero. He helped me. And you can kick me out of the synagogue if you'd like. But I can see. Thank God for that. You see, by showing compassion, folks, we gain credibility. Others begin to believe in us. They begin to trust us. They begin to associate with us. You've heard that expression, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's it, right there. You gain credibility. And third and finally, we prove the effectiveness of God's Word. Confirming the Word of God, in other words. You see, when they begin to trust us, they begin to believe in us, they begin to believe what God's Word says from us. Surely He wouldn't tell me anything that's not true. Surely He wouldn't share with me something that is not right. We confirm the Word of God. We confirm the Word of God in this respect. Some people talk about being religious. These people are religious. Some people talk about Jesus. These people show me Jesus. That's the difference. You are confirming, you are proving what God's Word says about being a Christian and being like Jesus. Miracles still exist. That is, modern day miracles. They exist in and through those who have the same heart and hunger to be like Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. That's what Paul told those saints in Corinth. And you haven't given your life to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that today. Make that decision today. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, to respond to the invitation this morning with a penitent heart, a mouth willing to confess Jesus, and give your life to Christ. Receive the blessing of salvation and go be a blessing to others. You know, maybe you've done that. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel. You've surrendered your heart, your hands, your life to Christ, but some way, somehow, in this old, rigid, crazy world that we're living in, we've gotten off track. Instead of being different from the world, we've kind of caved in and become more like the world. And our hearts have become hardened because of it. I want to encourage you to be a modern-day miracle worker. To show empathy. Have compassion in your heart. I want to encourage you today to gain credibility through your behavior, through your conduct of being like Jesus and absolutely proving and confirming the fact that God's Word is true. And let every man be a liar. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward as together we stand and we sing.